All right, everyone. It's so good to see you tonight. If you would, let's stand as we get ready to worship.
Happy Wednesday. Glad to be back in the house of the Lord again. We are going to Genesis 3. This may be the first time I've preached out of Genesis. I'm not sure here. But anyway, Genesis chapter 3, if y'all want to turn there, pretty easy. First book of the Bible, third chapter. I would like to know how many times that I have entertained the devil. Y'all ever thought about it? The Bible tells us sometimes that we entertain angels and we're unaware, we don't know it. Well, tonight, we're going to be looking at Adam and Eve. And they did a little entertaining of the serpent. But I wonder how many times I've entertained and been a part of his shenanigans. See, I don't believe that the devil, and y'all can let me know this if y'all disagree with me afterwards, I don't believe that the devil is as he's pictured in paintings and Renaissance pictures with these big horns and a big long tail and breathing fire. Because in my life, when I've experienced what I feel like is the devil, the old serpent, it's usually something that I like, not something that I dislike. Like if we were in the category of food, the devil in mine would be a big old marbled up 16-ounce ribeye. And it looked good, it smelled good, but then when you cut into that bad boy and it's somewhere between medium rare and medium, and you take a bite of it, it ends up being poison instead of that good old flavor that you were expecting. It's all good until you consume, and then you realize you done messed up. Tonight we're going to look at the serpent and his manipulation. The Bible later identifies the serpent as Satan himself, the adversary of God and the accuser of God's people. And you can find that in Revelation 12:9 if you want to look at it. Here's a question. As Christians, do we take the serpent, the old devil, seriously? That's what I want to know tonight. That's why I studied this. That's why I looked at this. Are we, as Christians today in 2026, taking the devil serious? Or are we just considering that he's just a figment? Or something, you know, a character that is not serious and real? Because see, I'm convinced that he is very real. I'm convinced that we are living in his domain, because that's what the Bible tells us. And if that's true, and we want to be successful, and we want to continue to live for God and glorify God and experience the goodness of God while we're still in his domain, then we need to know a little bit more about him and be prepared for him as we walk day to day. Personally, I have been deceived enough by the enemy in my 44 short years. And I would love to avoid deception in the next 44 if God should grant them to me. Here's some problems that I think we face. I know I do. We walk around sometimes spiritually relaxed. It's just another day. It's Wednesday. We're good. We're going to go have us a good day. But is our mind right? Are we filled with the Spirit? Do we have the shield in front of us? We got our helmet on. We got the belt on. We got our sword. Or are we just kind of going out of the house in our flip-flops? Look like these kids going to high school in their sweatpants. I mean, you know. How are we going out? We don't recognize what the serpent sounds like, what he looks like. We don't recognize him when he's sitting right there beside us. Is that him? I don't know. I think we'd do better to recognize him. We entertain conversations that we should shut down. We believe things because they've started to sound reasonable, logical. Well, the world may have this one right. I mean, it does make sense that this is what we should do. We've forgotten that it don't matter how much it sounds like it makes sense. If it goes against God's word, guess what we don't need to do? That, whatever it is. And then lastly, and this is something that I have been a victim of, so I wrote this in here for me, we only consider consequences that we can see. When we got God's word, we got God's command, we've got a calling from God, we know what he said, we need to do this. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Well, I mean, but I got away with it last time. Well, I mean, but if I just disobey God, probably the only thing that is going to happen is this. So I'm willing to endure this punishment to satisfy my flesh. Just because it's something you can think of don't mean that's the max. That's where that sin is going to lead you. It could lead you a whole lot further away and cut you a whole lot deeper than what you think it is. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. I know I have. So here's our central truth. Entertaining the serpent's lies always leads to separation from God's fellowship. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, But it's a separation from that closeness, that fellowship that we have with God when we entertain sin. But resisting through God's word keeps us in God's presence and keeps us holding tightly to God's peace. So if we're going to talk about how Satan gets Christians, the first thing he does is he gets you to doubt. Anybody ever doubt? Thank you. Thanks for your honesty. I'm raising my hand too. Hey. Verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The serpent is more crafty. That means cunning. That means clever than any beast of the field. He is sitting at the top of the most crafty. But then, if you don't miss this, the serpent is part of the beast that was made by God. So what does that tell us? Right there, that if God made it, one thing that it tells us that can give us encouragement is that God is superior. God is sovereign over him because God made him. The serpent approaches before Adam fulfills his role to guard and keep. See, God had given, he had charged Adam with this role, guard and keep. Adam is right beside Eve in this situation. We don't need to forget about that. He's not on the back 40. He's right here. And silence from Adam, I believe, is part of the problem of what we're fixing to see. The serpent starts with a question, if you notice. I've been a victim of this. This is him. This is characteristic serpent. Has God said, just a small question, has God really, are you sure? Is that what he said? Did you listen to him right? You sure? What's the purpose in that? If you're walking around with your guard down and your mind not right, you'll immediately go, well, I don't know. Did God not say that? Are you trying to tell me, was I wrong? I'm uncertain now. Now I'm doubting. Now I'm in a bad place. Now I'm weak. When we don't pay attention, bad things can happen. Dad and I were fishing up on Smith Lake one day, and he was fishing a shaky head jig, got it caught on the bottom in between some rocks. He didn't want to lose it because we didn't have a bunch of them. So he was going to get something to run down there to try to knock it out of that rock. Well, while he was doing that, he set his rod and reel right there on the back of the boat. And then he was piddling around in his box trying to get that. Well, I had swung the boat around. I didn't know that he wasn't holding on to his rod anymore. So the next thing I heard was kaplunch. And I look back, and now there's a $300 reel and a $200 rod just sinking to the bottom of Smith Lake. All because why? Just stop paying attention for a minute. And that's life. When we stop paying attention for just this long, bad things can happen. It gives the enemy an opportunity. If we're going to fight against the serpent, we must be continually ready. We got to be spiritually ready, mentally ready, physically ready. And how do we do that? How are we ready in all of these ways? We saturate our mind with Scripture before the serpent even speaks. So when he says, did God really say? Yes, he did. How can we say that? Because I was just in it. I was just in the Word. But if it's been 2 weeks since you've been in your Bible, it's been a month since you've been in your Bible, if he says, well, did God really say? I'm like, I don't know. I had to go back and look it up because I hadn't been in the Word. But I'm going to tell you something, not to my credit, that I've done that I know that will help you. This is a direct application. God has called me back and dedicated time, woken me up without an alarm. I'm just testifying to God's goodness. I have gotten back in the Word in the mornings as good as I've ever been. And it has benefited my life. When I tell you benefited, I am ready to go each and every day. It is good for my soul. I'm reading Proverbs. I'm reading some Ecclesiastes. I'm in the New Testament. I'm getting wisdom. I'm getting Jesus every morning. And so if the devil comes to me in the morning and says, well, did Jesus really do that? Yes, he did. I just read it. Did Jesus call you to do that? Yes, he did. Did the Proverbs really say? Yes, he did. But if I ain't been in them, I don't know. And when I say I don't know, I'm already doubting. And now the devil's ready. Now he can slide in there and he can tell me what he thinks that I need to know instead of what God said that I did need to know. So begin your day in prayer and asking for ears that hear and eyes that see, not numb. Seek to keep your mental and physical faculties at 100% at all times. Embrace 1 Peter 5:8, which says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's how serious Peter thought about it. He said the devil was your adversary, your enemy, and he's prowling around like a lion, creeping, looking, hungry. And if he can get somebody separate out there and get somebody weak, that's what they do. Y'all have seen them on the National Geographic? They separate them. And then once they get one out, that one's done. And they're going to go and they're going to devour it. Don't be that one. Don't let your guard down and be separated and get devoured. How does Satan get Christians? One way, he gets you to doubt. The second way is he gets you to justify. Anybody in here good at justifying things? Give me just a minute and I will justify anything. I am good at it. I'm like a lawyer. I mean, I am going to justify. I'm going to tell you I'm right. Second thing that the devil does is he gets you to justify. Let's read starting at verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. We had a little conversation with the enemy. Looks like we lost. I love words. I say a lot of words all the time. Because words can be used for good, words can be used for bad. And it looks like to me that the enemy, the serpent, is really good with words. Why did Eve entertain a voice that contradicted God? Once she realized that the serpent was saying things that weren't true about God, why didn't she just shut it down right there? Like, I don't need to listen to this. But how many times do we do that? How many times do we entertain voices that are not saying God's word and we'll just keep listening? Keep listening. Well, maybe it'll come around. I don't know. It's really not that bad. It actually kind of is logical. I love logic. But you can make logic lead you to a real bad place. The serpent's first question was, did God say not to eat? And then he shifted the subject. He says, you surely will not die. Why would God kill you? He just created you. This makes no sense. God loves you, the one who's walking around with you, the one who's giving you all these gifts. Surely, I mean, you just do one thing. You eat this one fruit. He's not going to kill you. Think about it, Eve. Just totally changes the subject. He's gone away from the command of God, and now he's taken him in another direction. Anybody ever been duped like that? I have. This is just characteristic devil is all it is. He's done this to me I don't know how many times. Just change the subject, shape the shift, and I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. And like a sheep to the slaughter, here I go, just tracking on down the road wherever he wants me to go. First, he questioned God's word. Now, he directly contradicts it. Temptation usually begins with questioning God's word, and it ends with us falling down and contradicting it. We question it, and then we contradict it and disobey it. The woman becomes a discerner. Did you notice that she is all wise? She's suddenly, now she's got this wisdom of observation, and she's going to make these keen. She says, oh, the tree, you're right. It looks good for food. I see the fruit on it. You're right, serpent. And then she says, the tree is pretty. The aesthetic is beautiful. I mean, look how it goes with all the other trees. It has to be good. It's perfect. And then there's one more thing she says. The tree can make one wise. Oh, I want to be wise. Sounds good. It's good for food. It's pretty. I'm going to get wise. And so she moves from trusting God's simple command to making her own decision. How many times do we do that? We know what God wants us to do. It's clear. It's simple. But then we go right over here and go, but I want to. But this makes sense. This is logical. Which one should we choose? You're going to be faced with that tomorrow. You may be faced with that tonight. You're going to have God's command that's clear right here, and you're going to have this that your buddies or maybe even your family tells you this is what you need to do. This is the right thing for us to do. Even though it has nothing to do with what God tells us to do, we should do this. You've got to make a decision. Which one are you going to do? Eve chose logic and what she wanted instead of what God said. And it was clear, simple command, don't eat the fruit. Adam and the woman were bit by the serpent, and he never had to strike. He never had to touch the fruit. He never had to use a tool to get them to do it. You see that? Nothing. Three things they did wrong right here. They entertained the serpent. They entertained him. Where are we entertaining the serpent? I want y'all to think about it. Don't answer out loud. But where are you going? What are you listening to? What are you watching? And you're entertaining him. I'm okay. I'm okay being around the enemy right now. This is okay because I'm not going to fall. I'm just going to be around him. I'm going to be close, but not with him. Secondly, they believed the serpent. And this is, it's like one of those things that keeps me up at night. Do we know enough about the Bible to even identify when the enemy is going to twist it? Because that's what he's going to do. He's not going to bring in a whole new truckload of doctrine. He's not going to totally truth of God's word and go, that ain't right. That's not right. Somebody's been here. And we got to fix this. Then he's going to win. And it all goes back to how familiar are you with God's word. And if you're not, you got time. Nobody's coming down on you. You got tonight, Lord willing. You got tomorrow to start your day with God's word and start getting familiar with it. Like it's a code. It's important. Lastly, they believe their own understanding. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. That's Bible. But the question for us is, whose understanding has more authority? Y'all have got to make that decision. Your logic and what you've come to in the wisdom of this world and your college and your high school and your elementary, is that the wisdom that is supreme, or is it God's wisdom that he's given us in his word? And I'm telling you, we're making compromise after compromise in this country because of man's wisdom. Am I wrong? Why? Why do we continue to compromise? God's clear. It's been there a long time. It's still right here. But we just say, well, but this. I don't know that God considered this. He didn't make it to 2026. Did he think about this? Yeah, he did. And though your logic can't put it together, that's not his fault. Go back to this. Always return to this. But as long as you have more authority than he does, you won't return to this. It'll always be what you want. You'll be Eve. You'll be taking that fruit and handing it to Adam for him to... Jesus was the model. When Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew 4, Jesus didn't reason with him. He didn't entertain him. Did he? He answered Satan with Scripture. The Word of God says, thus says the Lord. Eve debated. Well, I don't know. Jesus declared God's Word. See the difference? And there was two different outcomes in both of those situations. Eve fell. Jesus stood firm. What was the key? He stood on God's Word. If we're going to be continually obedient to God, we must identify the devil and refuse to entertain him. I don't need to be so fooled to think that I am either of these two things. And y'all can join me with these applications if you want to, but these are for me. They might be for you too. I'll let y'all be determining this. But we don't need to think that we are smarter or more crafty than the devil. He knows way more scripture than I do, I guarantee you. And the moment I start thinking that I'm smarter or stronger than he is, that's probably a bad mistake. Now my God is. The God that dwells inside of me is. But let me tell you who's not. Fleshly feel. He'll have me in a pretzel in 3 seconds and I'll be sitting there going the opposite direction. The second thing is to think that I'm more patient than he is. I've told y'all before, and I believe this, I don't know if there's another being that's more patient than the devil is. He'll wait on you. He's happy to. How does Satan get Christians? He gets you to justify. Lastly, the third thing Satan does is he gets you to hide. Hide. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How sad is that? They had direct fellowship with God, the one who created everything, in his very presence. And now they're ashamed and hiding from him, scared to even hear his steps. Do you think they saw that when they were eating that fruit? Did they think about that consequence? Now it's time to see the results of disobedience. Their eyes were opened. They can see. Just as the serpent promised. But I don't know if this type of vision is what he told them about. They can see, all right. But I don't think they like what they can see. So that's what the devil does. He don't tell you the whole thing. He just tells you enough to convince you. Then something astonishing happens. After rebellion, so they've rebelled. They've disobeyed God just like we do, just like I do. We're guilty of this. We all fall short every single day, more than any of us want to admit. They've just done what we've done. And what does God do? God comes walking to them. Y'all notice that? They ain't going to God. They hid under the banana tree. They trying to figure out how to make something to cover their naked bodies up that they didn't realize that they were naked because they didn't even have to worry about that before they disobeyed. But now we have God coming to those who had just disobeyed him. the one command that they had, that one. Judgment is coming through the garden, but before punishment, God pursues them. Even in Genesis 3, grace moves first. Adam and the woman want nothing to do with God. They once walked with Him, now they hide from Him. Here's where this is real in my life, and I've experienced this so many times that I'm ashamed. When I'm tempted by the enemy, and I'm tempted, it's not always the enemy. I don't think the devil's under every rock. My flesh is plenty enough to really, the devil probably doesn't even have to live and mess with me at all. But when I'm thinking about disobeying God with whatever it may be, I almost always fail to think about the presence and a separation being, again, not a loss of salvation, but just a loss of that closeness that you get with God when you're pursuing Him and you're seeking to live for Him. The most palpable time that I experienced this, I've shared this before, but I think it's worth sharing again because it's one of the most significant moments of my walk with the Lord. I had been absolutely living almost 100% for the enemy. I look back at the time and was I saved? I mean, yeah, I got saved when I was 9, but man, you're talking about not living for the Lord? I'm talking about not living for God at all. And I had consumed so much alcohol that I was scared to go in my house. I was ashamed. I wasn't scared. I was ashamed. Because it's 4 in the morning. So instead, I go get my deer rifle and I go to the middle of a cutover to hide. And I was sitting out there in the middle of that cutover, just guilt, sick. I was just sick. I was sick of myself. I was sick of my decisions. I was just sick. And I just had no relationship with the Lord at all. And I just had enough. And I said, the only thing I know to do is to cry out to God and ask for His mercy. And that's what I did. I confessed all that I had done. I confessed my decisions. I just laid it all out. I was like, God, You know. I'm not hiding anything from You. But I hate this. I hate where I'm at. I hate how I feel. I want Your presence back. I want You back. And I need the strength to get away from this other stuff. Because I was just deep. You get tied to that stuff. My life wasn't perfect after that, but God heard that prayer. And He began working in my life, inserting His presence back in my life. And I testify today, it's been a long time since that day in the cutover. I've made a lot of mistakes since that day in the cutover. But God has answered my prayer, and I spend more time in His presence today than I ever imagined that I would because of His grace and His mercy. But you can't just go and hide from God all the time. That's not the answer. The answer is repentance, to turn back towards Him. He knows your shortcomings. He knows. And He gave His Son so that you could have forgiveness.